Imagine seeing something no one else can see. A blue-haired boy being murdered by tattooed teenagers with glowing blades, his body vanishing into thin air. This is 15-year-old Clary Frey's first glimpse into the shadow world, a parallel reality hidden from ordinary humans. What begins as a typical night at the Pandemonium Club in Manhattan shatters her perception of reality forever. The next day brings even more chaos when Clary's mother, Jocelyn, frantically insists they must leave their Brooklyn apartment immediately. After storming out during their argument, Clary receives a terrifying phone call warning her not to come home. She ignores this advice only to find their apartment destroyed and her mother missing. Before she can process this scene, she's attacked by a monstrous ravener demon that speaks with human intelligence. What makes this opening so effective is how quickly normalcy crumbles. One moment, Clary is worried about art school applications and her best friend Simon's terrible band names. The next, she's fighting for her life against creatures that shouldn't exist. Her ability to see through magical glamours raises questions about her identity. Why can she perceive what others cannot? What secrets has her mother been keeping all these years? These questions propel us into a world where nothing is as it seems. The tattooed warriors who save Clary are shadow hunters, descendants of humans and angels who protect mundanes, ordinary humans, from demons. Their bodies bear magical runes, granting enhanced abilities, and they follow the ancient Clave's rigid laws and traditions. Their headquarters, the Institute, hides within what appears to be an abandoned Gothic cathedral in New York City, a metaphor for the shadow world itself. Inside, Clary meets young shadow hunters Jace, Isabel, and Alec, along with their tutor Hodge Starkweather, who bears a curse preventing him from leaving the building. The Shadowhunter Society functions as both refuge and prison. These warriors possess extraordinary abilities, yet remain bound by centuries of tradition. Alec Lightwood hides his homosexuality, fearing family rejection despite no official prohibition. Their uneasy relationship with downworlders, vampires, werewolves, fairies, and warlocks reveals deep prejudices despite formal peace accords. It's a world with its own politics and power struggles concealed beneath our own. At the heart of the novel lies the search for the mortal cup, a sacred chalice from the angel Raziel that can transform ordinary humans into shadow hunters. Valentine Morgenstern seeks this powerful artifact to create an army loyal only to him. Beyond its practical function, the cup represents legitimacy and authority within Shadowhunter society. Whoever possesses it controls their kind's future. When Clary discovers her mother concealed the cup inside a tarot card painting, it showcases Jocelyn's ingenuity while creating a powerful metaphor. The strength Clary seeks has been with her all along, hidden in plain sight like her own suppressed abilities. What makes this quest compelling are the competing motivations. The Clave wants it to maintain order, Valentine needs it for his army, and Clary seeks it to save her mother. These conflicting desires create moral complexity beyond a simple treasure hunt, challenging us to consider who deserves such power and for what purpose. The shadow world extends beyond demons and shadow hunters to include a vibrant downworld of supernatural beings existing between mundane and demonic realms. We encounter this at Magnus Bane's party, where Brooklyn's high warlock, part Asian with cat's eyes, glitter makeup, and centuries of wisdom, embodies the downworld's exotic allure. Downworld settings transform ordinary urban spaces into magical realms. An abandoned hotel becomes the vampire nest Hotel de Mort, a warehouse turns into a warlock's playground, and a bookstore hides a werewolf sanctuary. This suggests magic might lurk around any corner for those with the sight to see it. Downworlders add moral complexity to the story. They aren't simply monsters to hunt, but beings with societies, loves, and grievances. Magnus's painful childhood, rejected by his mundane parents because of his warlock eyes, humanizes these demonic beings. When Alec responds compassionately, "It wasn't your fault, you can't help how you're born," we glimpse potential understanding across these divided societies. As Clary explores the shadow world, she discovers shocking truths about herself. Her mother was actually a former shadow hunter in hiding, and Clary's lifelong doodles weren't random. They were shadow hunter runes. Luke, her mother's best friend, reveals himself as Lucian Greymark, a shadow hunter turned werewolf. His story illuminates Valentine's past, how he formed the circle after his father's death in a werewolf attack, and how Valentine betrayed Luke by orchestrating his werewolf bite. These revelations force Clary to reinterpret her childhood. Her daily vitamins were memory-blocking potions, and Magnus Bane was the mysterious visitor hired to suppress her ability to see the shadow world. The most devastating revelation comes when she learns Valentine Morgenstern, her mother's kidnapper, is her father. These secrets create a powerful narrative about identity and inheritance. Who are we when our self-understanding is shattered? How much of our parents' legacy, both good and bad, do we carry within us? Romance and friendship form the emotional core of the story, creating a web of conflicting loyalties. The central triangle involves Clary, her best friend Simon, who secretly loves her, and Jace, the shadow hunter, drawn to Clary despite his sarcastic exterior. This triangle represents Clary's divided life. Simon embodies her mundane past, safety, familiarity, shared history, while Jace represents her shadow hunter future, danger, excitement, new identity. Her heart's conflict mirrors her struggle between worlds. The midnight scene in the Institute's greenhouse captures this tension. As Jace and Clary share a birthday picnic among night-blooming flowers, his vulnerability emerges. His gift of a witchlight runestone, to bring you light, even among the darkest shadows, becomes a metaphor for their potential connection. Other relationships reveal different dimensions of love. Alec's unrequited feelings for Jace fuel his hostility toward Clary, while Luke's devotion to Jocelyn demonstrates love as steadfast protection. These connections create a rich emotional landscape where love means different things to different characters. City of Bones concludes with a revelation that transforms the story. Valentine is Jace's father, not Michael Wayland as believed. If Valentine fathered both Clary and Jace, their romantic feelings become forbidden. This twist subverts typical young adult romance, turning attraction into something complicated and taboo. It forces us to question Clary and Jace's relationship while setting up identity crises for both characters. Yet this painful truth creates possibility. By uncovering these secrets, Clary gains agency, discovers her ability to create new runes and pull objects from drawings, and forms connections with both shadow hunters and downworlders. She begins forging an identity, blending her mundane upbringing with her shadow hunter heritage. Like the midnight flower Jace shows Clary, blooming brilliantly before closing, truth in this world is fleeting. Characters must seize moments of clarity while navigating a reality where glamours hide monsters, memories can be altered, and loved ones may not be who they seemed. Perhaps the most frightening demons aren't those with claws, but the secrets we keep from ourselves and each other.